The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 4th, 2008, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
So, I'm very happy to be here tonight with all of you. This is a very, very auspicious gathering. So many devotees have come together. Actually, where the Vaishnavas are gathered, this is not this material world. This is Vrindavan, spiritual world. Because Krishna and Radha, they are present in the form of the Mahamantra, you see. So, by this Sankirtan, of course, we connect when we chant our japa, but when we come together for the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting, then by the power of synergy, you see, it becomes enhanced millions of times, you see. So by coming together like this, we can easily escape this material existence and enter into the transcendental world of Lord Sri Krishna, you see, where time and space are conspicuous by their absence. That's why people have to always tell me, time for the lecture to end, because once I start speaking, I lose any conception of time. Because this is actually, when you enter into this atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, it is beyond time and space. It is beyond this material body, you see, a man's body, woman's body, American body, Indian body. It's totally beyond all of these things, you see. You fly on the airplane of Krishna's mercy, you see. Spiritual master is the pilot, and he takes us on a transcendental journey to Krishna, you see, through the power of transcendental sound vibration. So tonight, we will study from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Havyasya Yoga Yuktena. Chaitasa nanyagamina.
Chaitasa nanyagamina.
Paramang purushang divyang.
Paramang purushang divyang.
Yati partanu chintayang.
Yati partanu chintayang.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena.
Chaitasa nanyagamina. Paramang purushang divyang.
Paramang purushang divyang.
Yati partanu chintayang.
Yati partanu chintayang.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. In this verse, Lord Krishna stresses the importance of remembering him. One's memory of Krishna is revived by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. By this process of chanting and hearing, the sound vibration of the Supreme Lord, one's ear, tongue, and mind are engaged. This mystic meditation is very easy to practice, and it helps one attain the Supreme Lord. Purusham means enjoyer. Although living entities belong to the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord, they are in material contamination. They think themselves enjoyers, but they are not the supreme enjoyer. Here it is clearly stated that the supreme enjoyer is Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, in his different manifestations and plenary expansions as Narayan, Vasudeva, etc. The devotee can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayan, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. So here Prabhupada is even for the Narayan worshippers, they can chant Hare Krishna. This is the perfect meditation for everyone. Sometimes people say, well, is it Narayan? Is it Vishnu or is it Krishna who is the Supreme? It doesn't matter. Hare Krishna is the way to become perfect, whether you worship Vishnu as the Supreme, Narayan, or Krishna, or Ram. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll become a perfect Narayan Bhakta, a perfect Vishnu Bhakta, a perfect Krishna Bhakta, and a perfect Ram Bhakta, all at the same time. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting. Note the word constant. He will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. The mind is fickle, and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar who thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Did you know that? Did you study that in school? The caterpillar becomes a butterfly in the same life. Yes. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our lives we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. You see, our material body is compared to an ugly caterpillar. And our spiritual body is compared to a beautiful butterfly. Vandeham. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, what is the point of this? You have to be Krishna conscious, that's the point. So why one should practice Krishna consciousness? Why? Well, the fact is that by nature we are enjoyers. Anandamayo bhyasat. That is our very nature. We want to always be happy, isn't it? Yeah. Everyone is always looking for happiness at every minute. So we are looking in the wrong place. That is the difficulty. We are foolishly thinking, I am this body, and therefore we are basing our happiness on the pleasure of the body. Just like I always give this example of this chatter, it's been used as an example all over the world. You see, is this me? No, I can take it off, I'm still me. I can put it on, I'm still me. Now, if I thought my happiness was the happiness of this chatter, what kind of foolishness would that be, you see? When it comes time for prasadam, I dip the prasadam in the dal, you know. Loaded up with some rice, so it'll be well fed, you see. Okay, I'm going to make sure my chatter is well fed. I don't feed myself, you see. How foolish that would be. Give me some strawberry ice cream, you know. I just wrap it up in the chatter and go like this, you know. That'd be stupid. The chatter can't enjoy, actually. It has no, it's not even animate. So your body actually cannot enjoy because it's not even a person. It's just dead matter. So your body really can't enjoy. There's simply an illusion of enjoyment there when the senses are stimulated. It's an illusion. There actually is no enjoyment. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing as material enjoyment. You know that? There's actually no such thing as material enjoyment. It doesn't even exist. Just an illusion of enjoyment, that's all. You cannot enjoy this material world because there is no enjoyment in this material world unless you connect with your spiritual identity. And then when you do that, there is unlimited enjoyment available. Why? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because Krishna is a reservoir of unlimited pleasure. And you are of the same quality of Krishna by your very nature. So all you have to do is reconnect with Krishna and then you enjoy on an equal level with Krishna. In fact, it is even stated by the acharyas that the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. That's why Krishna becomes envious of his devotees and decides to become one himself so he doesn't miss out on the nectar. Krishna became a Hare Krishna. You know that? He shaved up, put on tilak, everything. He joined the Bhakta program. You know, his Bhakta name, Bhakta Avatar. You see. He joined the Bhakta program as Lord Chaitanya, you see. Because Krishna couldn't tolerate that his devotees would enjoy more than him. He's the origin of everything. Even envy comes from Krishna. So Krishna, he didn't want to be outdone by Srimati Radharani. So he said, I will take her mood so I can taste what she is tasting. So he became Lord Chaitanya. Just to taste the mood of being a devotee. So if God himself, who is tasting unlimited pleasure as the supreme enjoyer, sees that his devotee is enjoying more than him and he becomes a devotee, you can just try to understand how much pleasure there can actually be tasted when one becomes purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You can enjoy more than God. I mean, that's a lot of enjoyment. That's unlimited nectar. So why aren't we tasting it? That's the next question. Well, I became a devotee, but my mind is so disturbed by this thing and that thing. Why am I not tasting the nectar? Well, you know why? You're not expert. We're not expert. That's the reason, you see. So we have to become expert. We have to become advanced. A neophyte devotee is still struggling with the mind. Let's face it. We're struggling with our minds, isn't it? That rascal mind keeps pulling us back and forth. Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, like a windshield wiper. You know. It's a fact. On our neophyte level, we are sometimes tasting the bliss and sometimes we're feeling miserable. So all we have to do is learn how to advance beyond the neophyte platform. You see. An advanced devotee is tasting so much nectar, he doesn't even have to go to the holy dham. You know why? Wherever he goes is the holy dham. And Prabhupada explains, when he goes to a holy place, like Vrindavan or some holy place, he goes there to purify the holy dham by his own presence. Because all the pilgrims go there with all their sin, and they deposit their sins in the holy dham. So when the pure devotees go to the holy dham, they purify that holy dham by their very presence. So this one becomes highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. He doesn't feel a need to go to the holy dham because he's already feeling he's in the holy dham at every minute. Mayapur, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, all the dhams become present in his heart. All the dhams. And he's feeling himself to be surrounded by the dhams on all sides, wherever he goes. Whether he's in a temple, whether he's traveling between temples, it doesn't matter. He said, wherever Prabhupada went, that place was Vrindavan. Didn't matter. He could be on an airplane talking with the pilot, even talking with the pilot one time. The pilot came out. You've seen that picture of Prabhupada? The pilot came out of the cabin and sat down with Prabhupada and talked to Prabhupada during the flight. Wherever Prabhupada was, that was Vrindavan, you see. Wherever he is now, that is Vrindavan. The pure devotee, the advanced devotee, carries Vrindavan with him wherever he goes within his heart. He's never separated from the holy dham. He's always relishing the nectar. So how do we get from the neophyte stage we're in now to the advanced stage? That's why we have these programs, you see. These are training programs. I mean, it's a nice time to gather together, but the real thing is, this is a training. It's a training program how we can all come from the neophyte platform to the advanced platform so we can always be absorbed in bhakti 24/7, you see, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, whether it's the temple, whether in the Monday morning commute, or whether we're at the office. You see, fully absorbed in bhakti. Pure bhakti. This is the Bhagavad Gita is training us how to do that. So what are the specific points we can pick up from this verse in purport, how to absorb ourselves completely in pure bhakti, 24/7. You see, that's how when we read the books of Prabhupada, that's what we should be seeing. What can I learn? What is Prabhupada teaching me now that I can utilize to be fully absorbed in pure bhakti at every second with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, wherever I may be, you see. This is how we have to approach these. These are laboratory manuals, these books of Prabhupada, teaching us how to actually make this process work. You can study in the laboratory, in the lecture, that H2O equals water, you see. But still, you don't know how to do it. But when you get the laboratory manual and you go to the laboratory, like I did when I was in high school, we actually produced the water in the test tube, each student, and I was really amazed when it happened. Sure enough, there it was. Did you ever do that in high school? Yeah, we combined two parts of hydrogen, two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen, and lo and behold, there I was, I had water in my test tube. And I was really impressed. This is real. H2O really does equal water, you see, because I did it. I saw it happen right in my own test tube. So Prabhupada's books not only give you the theory, but they also give you the practical techniques by which you not only know that H2O equals water, but you actually get the water in your heart. You actually get Krishna fully manifested in your heart. And in an advanced stage, Prabhupada explains, and he says we should hanker for this, the day when you can see Krishna face to face and personally speak with him. You see, that's a very advanced stage. When Krishna actually comes and reveals his form to you and you can talk with him and ask him questions, get instruction, personal instructions from Krishna directly. Prabhupada said, not by sahaja method, cheaply, but by qualifying through service. That's it. Through service. So, this is how we should learn, we should study these books with a view to becoming very mature, truly absorbed in bhakti, devotional service. How can we become fully, totally absorbed in bhakti 24 hours a day? So, this particular verse focuses on the most important thing, which is to remember Krishna, always. This is such an important principle that our society is named on this principle. We are the International Society for Remembering Krishna 24 hours a day, you see. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Consciousness means to remember Krishna 24 hours a day. That's what it means. To always be Krishna conscious, conscious of Krishna, remembering Krishna. So our whole society is based on this principle of always remembering Krishna. So what is the technique for remembering Krishna? If you study the ninefold bhakti items, Navavidha Bhakti, you will see Shavanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Smaranam is the third item on the list. Why is it the third item on the list? Why does remembering come after chanting and hearing? Do you know why? Because remembering becomes possible by chanting and hearing. If there's no chanting and hearing, you won't be able to remember. Because in this whole material world, we are chanting and hearing so many things. The weather, the sports, the stock market, the price of gasoline, you know. We're chanting and hearing so many topics. Whatever you absorb yourself in hearing about and speaking about, that's what you're going to remember. Just imagine at the time of death, you're worried, oh my God, the gas is $6.50 a gallon. You think $4.50 is bad. I was came back from Auckland. They're paying $8 a gallon there. I saw a man fill up his little sports car for $137. I was thinking, what's going through his head right now? Wow. So, we need to absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna so that our mind naturally gravitates towards Krishna. That's the point. And as I pointed out while I was reading you the purport, Prabhupada said, due to his constant chanting. Now, some people complain to me that why you say chanting 16 rounds? If Krishna's name is so powerful, I can just say it once a day, Hare Krishna, and then go about my activity. He's right in one sense. Krishna's name is so powerful that if you said it once with complete purity, that would be enough to keep you Krishna conscious the whole day. You wouldn't have to chant 16 rounds. If you could chant it that purely, you see. Because we're not that pure, we need to chant at least 16 rounds a day. That's a fact. The fact is, if you can chant Hare Krishna, you can say Hare Krishna, not even the whole mantra. If you can say Hare Krishna one time with complete, total purity, you will enter into the spiritual world. You'll actually penetrate the coverings of the universe and find yourself in Goloka Vrindavan. If you can chant it with absolute purity, even one time, Hare Krishna. Can you imagine how powerful it is? Can take it through all the coverings of the universe, past all the universes, through the Viraja River, the border between this material and spiritual worlds, past all the Vaikuntha planets, right there in Goloka Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are having the most intimate pastimes. Just one pure utterance of Hare Krishna can take you all the way in 1 second. But the trouble is, we're not able to chant that purely. So we have to practice. We have to develop the ability to chant more purely, more purely, more purely, gradually, 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 gradually. You know, that chanting becomes absolutely pure. See, in the beginning, our chanting is 1% pure and 99% impure. And we have to gradually progress. You know, 2% pure, 98% impure. Prabhupada is calling. So, Prabhupada came to introduce this Hare Krishna mantra you've just heard. Prabhupada manifested. singing the Hare Krishna mantra. He came to show us what is this pure in the Harinam, this Suranam, you see. The pure holy names of the Lord. Because this holy name, when it is chanted purely, it will in fact carry us beyond this material existence into the spiritual atmosphere. So by practicing it on a regular daily basis, then we will gradually be completely perfect in this process. Krishna says, actually, satatam kirtayanto mam. You should always chant 24 hours a day. Krishna actually instructs us to chant 24 hours a day. But Prabhupada, and seeing the practical situation, we can't all imitate Haridas Thakur, you see. We have jobs, we have families, we have rent to pay, you know, car payments, insurance, you know. The list is huge, you know, all the expenses, you know, income tax, you know, so many things to do, filling out the IRS form, you know, so many things we have to do. So Prabhupada said, all right, 16 rounds. See, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that 16 rounds will be accepted as 24 hours a day of chanting. If we chant 16 rounds with full sincerity and purity. Who's calling?
There's no name. Number is there. I don't know whose number is there.
And I we'll just put it on vibrate mode. Yeah.
Number is there.
Anyway, we'll turn it off is the best thing. Yeah. So, in this way, we have to understand that by following this wonderful, wonderful program given to us by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, that gradually, 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 this dirt in the heart, which is afflicting us since time immemorial, this dirt will gradually be cleansed away, and we can fully awaken our original eternal identity as a servant of Krishna and His transcendental abode. The process begins by having faith. We have to have faith in this process. If one can put some faith in this process, then gradually that faith will become stronger if he associates regularly with devotees. This is a very important thing. Regularly associating with devotees will strengthen our faith so that gradually, gradually we can become completely immersed in sadhu sangha, association of devotees as much as possible. From there, we will come gradually to the stage known as bhajana kriya. The bhajana kriya stage means that I'm seeing how the devotees are practicing Krishna consciousness, and I do it myself. I see these devotees, they're tasting so much bliss by practicing Krishna consciousness. Let me also do. Let me follow the same pathway of the devotees. So this is the wonderful system of Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada. We take up this pathway with full sincerity, with full determination. Then, in due course of time, all the perfections will come. We'll become free of all the dirt of the heart. We'll become fixed solidly in Krishna consciousness. We'll get a very, very sweet taste from this process. We'll be relishing very sweet nectar at every minute in Krishna consciousness. And then we'll become absolutely, completely addicted to Krishna's holy name. And then ecstatic emotions will awaken within the heart. And finally, pure love of Godhead will completely become manifest. So this whole thing is based on faith. We must have very strong faith. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru. Always miss that third line. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru. Bakashante mahatmanaha. That for one who has unflinching faith, in the words of the spiritual master and in the words of Krishna is spoken in the scriptures. You see, all the imports of the Vedas become revealed to that person. He realizes everything. The key is you have to learn how to have faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the words of Krishna as spoken in Bhagavad Gita. If you have this very strong faith in these words, then everything will become revealed to you. All the Vedic wisdom will become revealed. The whole spiritual world will become revealed to you in due course. Everything will become revealed. So, how do we develop that faith? That's a very important thing. It's very simple. You have to associate with people who have it. Faith is a contagious disease. If you find people who have strong faith in Guru and Krishna, and you associate with those people, then you catch it. You get it too. At the same time, you should satisfy your intelligence by carefully studying the philosophy. There's not just a sentiment. This faith is based on solid reason. Very solid reason. In other words, we can explain everything on the basis of logic, even without referring to scripture. We can very logically and scientifically explain this whole process of Krishna consciousness. Without even just on the basis of logic, we can explain the whole thing. Because who takes the authority of scripture nowadays? Practically nobody. They laugh at the idea of scripture being authoritative. The modern day secular person laughs at the idea of taking the authority of scripture. We take the authority of science, is it? That's the mentality. We just want logic and science, that's all. Don't bring scripture in. We don't take scripture, you see. But we can actually explain this philosophy on the basis of science and logic, the whole thing, you see. And then we can say, and it is reconfirmed in the scriptures. What we have proven to you logically and scientifically, we can tell you it is reconfirmed in the scriptures. And that's how we can explain Krishna consciousness. This process works. Just like H2O equals water, that's a scientific formula. You apply it, you get the water. Krishna consciousness is equally scientific. If you apply this formula of surrendering to Krishna, then you experience Krishna directly, face to face, eye to eye, in due course of time when your experiment becomes perfect. You personally meet God, personally. It's like H2O equals water, surrender to Krishna equals meeting Krishna directly. That's scientific. It's just as scientific as H2O equals water. Surrendering to Krishna equals meeting Krishna. It's just as scientific. So we met a person who has met Krishna, that's Srila Prabhupada. And seeing what his constant association with Krishna made him, seeing the quality of a person who was non-different from Krishna, actually. By that pure connection with Krishna, the spiritual master became non-different from Krishna. Prabhupada said, spiritual master is a walking temple and a walking Vishnu, actually. That's why we should never treat the spiritual master as an ordinary man. By doing that is great offense. We have to think, if Krishna was personally present, how much would I serve him? That's how much we should serve the spiritual master. So, in this way, by having full faith in the words of Guru and the words of Krishna as spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, then everything will become known to us. Nothing will remain unknown. Everything will become known. Become full of bliss, full of knowledge, and become fully situated in our eternal identity as Krishna's servant. It's absolutely ecstatic. Because then you have no anxieties about anything. No anxieties left, you see. Just like Prabhupada's a perfect example of this. One time he was on the airplane. And sometimes the airplanes will hit the pocket where the plane will just That's why they say to keep your seat belts on. So that happened on a flight. Prabhupada was up in the front of the airplane. His servant was a few rows back. And the plane hit this pocket and just fell. My godbrother explained that you felt like your stomach was in your head. It was so intense. You felt like your stomach was in your head. And everybody was completely shaken. Everyone was completely terrified by the experience. Everyone on the whole plane, you see. So after it was over, the plane finally leveled, you know, finally got secure position again. It was okay. And so Pusta Krishna, Prabhu, he went up to see how Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada was sitting there very calmly. And Prabhupada says, he said, Prabhupada, are you all right? Prabhupada said, we can die at any time. Prabhupada was so detached, even if the plane had crashed, he'd be completely, no big deal, you know. Prabhupada said, we can die at any time. He was completely equipoise. No disturbance. Even if the plane had crashed and everybody, you know, it just kept falling all the way and hit and smashed on the ground or in the ocean. And everybody was killed instantly upon impact. Prabhupada would have been completely undisturbed during the whole experience. Because for someone who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, this whole material world is like a dream. It's like a movie. You know, it's like something happening on the screen of the Mahatattva. The whole material, it's just like a projection. The material nature is just like a big movie theater, you know, or a drama. The pure devotee sees that this is not the actual reality. This is just some drama going on here, you see. The material world is like the theater, you know, like a theater, where this whole drama is going on. And he's not affected by it. He's situated beyond it. He's feeling it, he's living in his relationship with Krishna. He's not living in his relationship with his material body anymore, although he uses it as long as he has it. He uses it for Krishna. But he's not. That's not where he's at. He doesn't feel that relationship like everyone else. He's not identified with it. It's not me. It's just something that I'm using for Krishna right now, and if Krishna wants me to use something else for him, that's fine. It's like the spiritual master says, okay, you offer an arti, now go give a Bhagavatam class. It's not a big deal, you see. So for one who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Krishna says, okay, I want you to serve me in that, you know, American body, that American male body, or that Indian female body, whatever. And he says, okay, now I got to now do this service. You see, it's not a big deal. He says, Krishna's given me a different service. He switched me from this department to that department. It's all. So death is nothing for devotee. It's just, you know, going from the Bhagavatam class to the altar, or vice versa, that's all. It's no big deal. Nothing, really. Nothing to get hung up about, or frightened about, or nervous about. It's just, you know, changing service. Switching to a different service. Well, I'm serving here, and I'll serve them. So the key is we just have to be totally attached to Krishna, serving Krishna and our spiritual master. And then whatever happens, if that is our only attachment, then we'll never be disturbed by anything. I was asked this morning that, well, how can you be Krishna conscious when you have to go in the material atmosphere, your place, your job, you see? I said, the easiest way is you just surrender to a bona fide spiritual master and then do whatever he tells you. And whatever you're doing is Guru Seva. If he tells you to move into the temple and become a pujari, you do it. Okay, Guru Maharaj's order. I give up everything and just become a pujari living in the temple. You see? Or if he tells me to go start a business, I go do that. Or he tells me to go work a corporate job, I do that. Whatever. If he tells me to go out and, you know, get an ox and a plow and live on the land. Just whatever he tells me to do, I do. That's all. Simple then, you see. Then whatever you do is Guru Seva. If you're at the office, you're doing it for your spiritual master. You order you to do it. So that's a very easy way to be transcendentally situated. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and do whatever he says. And then you're transcendentally situated automatically. And just be detached. Whatever he tells me to do, I do. That's all. And then you're immediately situated in the spiritual existence. Immediately. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation, Prabhupada explains, deathlessness begins at that instant. You achieve immortality at the very moment of your initiation, provided you stick to following his instructions. You have to stick to his order. If you deviate from his order, then you lose it. You come back into bodily consciousness, the anxiety-ridden bodily consciousness. So even if one slips after initiation, you can get it. You just have to pick yourself up and put yourself back on the track. And then you become reinstated in your immortality. So anyway, I've spoken long enough here. I don't know how long it's been. 40 minutes. So maybe there's some questions. Try to answer them. Yes.
How can we explain Krishna consciousness scientifically?
Yes. Science means observation, experiment, and hypothesis. That's the scientific method. You observe things, you do experiments, you judge from the result of the experiments, and you make hypotheses based on them. So you can do the same thing. You be the guinea pig. You perform the experiment on your own consciousness. You see. Chant Hare Krishna mantra. Absorb yourself in chanting Hare Krishna. And then see what it does for your consciousness. That is scientific. You make a scientific analysis of what happens to you when you chant Hare Krishna. When you dedicate yourself to this process, observe the results. It's like a scientist would study a rat in a laboratory. You be the rat and the scientist at the same time. Perform it on yourself. You see. Actually, one scientist did that. The one who discovered LSD, hallucinogenic drug, he did it on himself. He took the LSD himself to see what the result would be. And he made a scientific study based on his own experiences of taking LSD. Now, I'm not telling anybody to take LSD. But I'm saying this is, he studied this scientifically, what was LSD, by taking it himself. You should chant Hare Krishna and scientifically study what does it do for your consciousness. In this way, you can scientifically observe what is the result of chanting Hare Krishna, and then you can make your scientific study, then you can give the report of your scientific study to the world, like the scientists do. They will publish in the Scientific American the results of their scientific research. So that's called preaching. You see. They call it publishing the Scientific American. We call it preaching. Once you perform the experiment on yourself and you've actually observed carefully what are the results of chanting Hare Krishna, then you can give your report of your scientific experiment to the world so they can benefit. Scientists give they do their research and then they publish their findings for the so-called upliftment of the world, isn't it? And people find practical utilization of these scientific things like mobile phones and MP3 recorders, etc., etc. They find ways to practically utilize these scientific findings. Medicines and, automobiles and so many things, airplanes. So in the same way, if we publish or broadcast the result of our scientific experiment, and people catch wind of these things, then they can utilize this to improve their lives. And that's what we're doing, you see. I've made the scientific experiment on myself, and I experienced a transformation of consciousness by this process. So I'm now broadcasting the results of my scientific experiment so that everyone else can benefit. And if you don't believe me, that's all right. Do the experiment on yourself. If you do the same experiment that I did on yourself, you'll get the same result, just like H2O equals water. You will get the same result. So You can take my word for it if you want, or if you don't, you're a skeptic, that's all right. Then you do the experiment on yourself. But I encourage everyone to do the experiment on themselves. We don't want blind followers in the Hare Krishna movement. We want persons who personally realize God. That's what we want in this movement. Because that's how they'll take over the world in 18 days. If we have hundreds and thousands of men and women throughout the world who personally realize God, then nothing will stop this movement from quickly taking over the whole world society and saving the world from the turmoil and poverty. The world is becoming more and more poverty-stricken, you know? Now with the price of oil, you can imagine it's getting more expensive to eat. There's riots now over food. I mean, this is just the beginning. You see? So, but we can solve all of these problems just by becoming realized in Krishna consciousness and spreading it. All these things can easily be solved by Krishna. The whole economic thing, it's not a big deal for Krishna to solve it. We can live in the lap of luxury and complete peace and prosperity. Every man, woman, and child on this planet can live peacefully and opulently. Every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet can live peacefully and opulently if we can just make Krishna the center of the world society. Nobody has to live in poverty in an uncomfortable, unpleasant situation. Everybody can live comfortably and happily, well-fed. Even the animals will be fatty. Now in India, the only fatty animals you see are the dogs on Juhu Beach who walk with the movie stars. All the other animals are pathetic in India. You see. Skinny, all you can see is their ribs, you know. It's horrible. The poor cows and the dogs and all the animals are pathetic. But our Hare Krishna Ganges movement is that everybody should be very well fed. Well, the Vrindavan hogs who eat the stool, they're fed. They're waiting. You see, they have an open sewer system in Vrindavan. When people pass stool in their house, it comes out in a little ditch on the side of the street, and the hog is waiting, wagging his tail. Here comes lunch. So, if you like to enjoy this material world, you can become a hog, a stool-eating hog. I remember Amarendra, my former temple president in Gainesville, he told me there was some hog farm. They had a hog house with three different levels. They had hogs on three different levels. They would feed they would feed corn to the hogs on the top level, and the hogs underneath, they would eat the stool that was coming from above. And the hogs on the bottom level were the most fatty of all the hogs. So that's called hog life, you see. So this hog life, that's for those who want sense gratification. They can become hogs, you see. Become very fatty eating stool. But a sane man, he's not interested in that. That happened to Indra, you know, the king of heaven. Everybody knows that story, most of you. The king of heaven, he made some offense against the sage and he was cursed to become a hog. And Brahmaji and the other demigods came to save him from his hog life. Come back, Indra. Come back to your king position as the king of heaven. He became so addicted to hog life, he said, what are you talking about? I have a hog, I got all facility. I can have sex with my mother, I can have sex with my sister, I can have sex with my daughter, I can have sex with anybody and eat stool, it's great. He was relishing. But then, when he saw that the farmer was getting ready to kill him, he came to his senses and he went back and became the king of heaven again. So the present moment, we're addicted to hog life, you see. Sense gratification. I'm this body. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It's hog mentality, you see. So we have to give up this hog mentality and simply learn how to relish devotional service as our only happiness, our only pleasure. We should shun all other types of happiness except for Krishna consciousness. Any other type of happiness you have besides Krishna consciousness may appear to be very nice, but I can tell you right now it's your enemy. It's your enemy. Learn how to enjoy only Krishna consciousness and nothing else. And then Krishna, you know what the advantage is when you do that? Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jada paryupasate. Tesham nityavayuktanam yogachemam vahamyaha. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, completely absorbing themselves in my transcendental form, I personally preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. In a lecture, Prabhupada said, I personally deliver whatever they need to their home. Home delivery service from Krishna. Whatever you need, deliver it right to your door, you see. One who becomes totally sold out, just imagine Krishna's position. He owns everything, controls everything throughout all of existence. If that person is your personal supplier of whatever you need, you will never be lacking for anything. You never lack for anything spiritual or material. Can you imagine you don't have to worry about anything material? All you have to do is serve Krishna. Whatever you need materially, it's all there. That's what happens to a pure devotee. He doesn't need any, he doesn't have to worry about material things. He just serves Krishna. And all his material needs come automatically by Krishna's arrangement, personal arrangement. So the more you become pure in Krishna consciousness, you will see more and more how Krishna is arranging everything for you perfectly. You don't have to be in anxiety. But the more we try to be the controllers ourselves, guess what? Anxiety. You see? How am I going to pay my bill? Oh my God, I may get laid off. What will happen if this? What will happen if that? So much anxiety. You see? Yeah.
You mentioned that Sadatam Kikyantamam Jidana Pachupasate, that Bharti mentioned. It's like, so Krishna is giving more emphasis on chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or like after chanting 16 dhams, if we study the Bhagavatam or if we do other service, is level or we better focus in chanting?
Prabhupada explains in this to answer your question. Prabhupada says everything is chanting. Everything is kirtan. Kirtan is kirtan, reading is kirtan, right? He said even taking prasadam is kirtan. Everything we do, Prabhupada said, is chanting, it's kirtan, except for sleeping. He said, that is waste. So try to minimize sleep as much as possible. Of course, you can't artificially do it. You need to have energy to do your service. Take whatever rest you need, but minimize that and maximize doing everything. Prabhupada said, it's all kirtan, it's all chanting, whether you're reading, whether you're writing, whether you're even eating prasadam. In this way, totally absorb yourself. So it's all accepted by kirtan means glorifying Krishna, isn't it? So what by any type of devotional activity is glorifying Krishna. If I'm offering an arti, I'm glorifying Krishna. If I'm reading, I'm glorifying Krishna by my act of reading. If I'm writing, whatever you're doing in that way, it's all glorifying, it's all considered chanting or kirtan. You have something in writing here? Oh, this is a long question.
I was not sure if I could express it.
Who has written this?
I wrote
it. All right. So please bear with me if I say something that offends you. Well, if you say something offensive, you may get zapped. Look out. Please consider me a fool and forgive me. Krishna's message to Arjuna in the battlefield applies to all of us here today. We are all confronted with our own Mahabharatas every day. Yes. My question relates to one such Mahabharata that we are all undergoing. We devotees are all having a very strong desire to advance our Krishna consciousness, or else we would not be here. We wish to be more involved in activities that please Krishna, like book distribution, jai, Nam Sankirtan, jai, temple events, jai, and any means to get Krishna's name to the masses. Meanwhile, we have our material responsibilities. Most of us have families with growing children needing more attention, so the family demands its own share of time. Well, you know what? Demanding it, children needing attention. Well, guess what? There's your preaching right there. You want to preach to the masses? Start off with your children. Train them to be like Bhakti Siddhanta, like Bhakti Vinod trained Bhakti Siddhanta. You see? If you can teach even one of your child to be a pure devotee, then you just enlighten the whole world. You understand? Your first duty is to train your children to become pure devotees. And then through them, you'll be preaching to the entire planet. If one of your child becomes a pure devotee, that he will be able to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So you train your children to be pure devotees, and then you're doing the biggest book distribution, the biggest Nam Sankirtan, the biggest everything. If you can make one of your children a pure devotee, that's the first thing. Okay. Actually, you should give your children your undivided attention. And then you take them with you for book distribution and preaching. Don't leave them with the television to become misled by Bugs Bunny, you see. You take your children with you. Your children should be like your shadows. Wherever you go, they go. Your children are your greatest asset, because now you have a 24/7 preaching to your own children. So then you train your children nicely. We've seen practically, you know, if the children will hear this philosophy, sometimes people think, well, this is high level philosophy, let the kids play in the other room. That's bogus. Let the children sit and hear. They'll become more advanced than the parents. Philosophically, you'll be amazed. If these children sit and hear this philosophy, if they're taught not to play and doodle they don't need to sit in color during the classes. Let them just absorb themselves in hearing. They don't need a diversion. Let them hear. You see? Train the children to sit and hear. If you had to hold them in your lap to do that, whatever you have to do, train the children to sit still and listen to this knowledge, because by doing so, they will become highly advanced philosophers and devotees. It's amazing how the process works. That's how Prahlad became a devotee, just by hearing in his mother's womb. He wasn't even out of the womb yet, and he became a Mahabhagavat just by hearing within the womb. So these children can become Mahabhagavats, even as little children, if they hear the philosophy. So, give your children unlimited attention, and then engage them with you in book distribution, nams, and all these activities that you want to do. Do it along with them as a family unit. Many of us are in the IT field. The job we work is not an 8-hour job. It is most times 12-hour jobs. It often is in the weekends too. Well, that means that you have to completely transcendentalize your job also. So what does job mean? Do you do it for fun? You do it for money, right? Okay, because you have to. So that money, how you spend the money, will make you or break you. It'll make or break your consciousness as a worker in that corporation. How do you spend the money? Do you, by associating with those karmis who think this is my money when they get their paycheck, do you think it's your money when you get your paycheck? If you do, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. When you get that paycheck, even though it's made out to your name, or now it's electronic, of course, it all goes in, you know. But you have to think, this is Krishna's money, it's not mine. How does Krishna want me to spend it? You have to seriously be in that mood. Whatever you spend on your family has to be for their Krishna consciousness, not frivolous sense gratification. And then whatever you set aside for savings, also that has to be there. But beyond that, every penny should go for spreading this movement. Take care of your needs, your basic comforts, your future emergencies. A householder has to do those things. But beyond that, your money must be given all for spreading this movement. Can't be used for whimsical, foolish things like going to Disney World or things like that. You know. Hope I didn't step on any toes, but maybe I did, but. Sometimes I have to. What can I do? If you like Disney World, then let's make a Krishna world. It becomes more popular than Disney World. We really have to become focused on Krishna consciousness. We don't need Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck. You see, all we need is Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, Radharani, etc. That's all we need. We don't need anything else. So what you do when you're off of work and what you do with the money, that will affect your consciousness on the job. And I recommend, not always possible, but as far as possible, go to bed very early and rise by 4 a.m. Because actually, according to Vedic culture, anybody who sleeps past 4 a.m. is a mlecha. I probably stepped on a lot of toes with that one. They're mlecha. Anybody who sleeps past 4 in the morning is mlecha. It may not be practical if you're getting, you know, you get off work at 8 o'clock and you have a 2-hour commute, you get home at 10. I mean, there are practical situations. But I'm saying as far as possible, go to bed early and get up as close as you can to 4 a.m. Take your bath, put on devotional clothes and tilak, offer an arti and sing the Gavastakam prayers. And then chant 16 good quality rounds, read the Bhagavatam, take prasad and breakfast, and then you'll be fully surcharged. Instead of being affected by that atmosphere at the office, you will affect the atmosphere at the office by your consciousness. You will have an uplifting effect on the entire corporation by your presence there. You see? We want devotees who become spiritual revolutionaries, who impact their environment. They do not become impacted by their environment. They impact their environment wherever they go. That's what you have to be, a spiritual revolutionary. You see? So, Maharaj, you are in a unique situation as you are a grihastha. Actually, I'm a vanaprastha. Not a grihastha. But I do have a wife, so it's similar to grihastha. It's not exactly grihastha. In contrast to most Maharajas in this movement. So, you may... Yeah, I have some practical realization being with wife, you see. That gives me a certain angle that many people appreciate in my preaching. That's a fact. Maharaj, without resorting to stock answers, I want you to draw upon all your life experiences and your vast knowledge, showing some light in the dark tunnel of life. How do we balance these three responsibilities, our jobs, our families, and our hunger for Krishna consciousness? You have to turn them into one thing. That's all. You have to merge them all into one thing, Krishna Seva and Guru Seva. That's what you have to do. You shouldn't have different departments. Everything has to be on one track. If you have three different tracks and you keep switching back and forth, this track, that track, then you're not going to go forward anywhere. You have to make everything on one track, Guru Seva, Krishna Seva track, you see. Everything, your job, your family, your Krishna, all your activities are perfectly dovetailed. Yad kadoshi, yad asnasi, yad jahosi, dadasi, yad tapashashi kontaya, tat kadushva madarpanam. You asked about some personal experiences. Well, I spent 3 years in the corporate world, then I retired. That was enough for me. I got an opportunity to... There was a need to bring Back to Godhead back to print. They needed devotees to go out full-time and sign up BTG subscribers. So I said goodbye to my computer programming career. We got in a little Toyota, and Mataji and I headed out distributing and signing up BTG subscribers. She and I, there was a contest in the world, who can do the most, and she and I won the world contest. We were the number one and number two. She says that I was number one, but I say that she was number one, actually. We were the number one and number two distributors of BTG's subscriptions in the entire ISKCON world for that marathon. Anyway, then we decided to open a little preaching center where I had Prabhupada had told me we started a Namahut center out of our house. And we needed a little income, so I was working part-time. at MCI, the long distance company, doing telesales on the telephone, 4 hours a day. Actually, I was doing so well, I made a full-time income from working from the commission. Made a full-time income working 4 hours a day. And so I thought, what is this? Here I am not wearing tilak. It's the only kind of little disconnected. So I'm going to wear tilak to work today. And I was so enlivened wearing tilak, I sold like crazy that day. And the boss said, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you got to wear it every day. So, you know, we should really be, you know, we shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed of our culture. We should understand this. Everybody in the world is dying for Krishna. They may not know it, but actually they're all dying for Krishna. So let me do whatever I can to spark off a spiritual revolution at that corporation. One godbrother of mine, he was working a corporate job as a consultant of some kind of corporate thing. He would put a Bhagavad Gita as it is on his desk every day, openly, you see. So one worker, he said, "What is that?" So he let him read it, and that other devotee, other person became a disciple of Prabhupada, initiated disciple, just because he put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk at the corporate job every day, you see. So many people in their cubicles, they have pictures of their family members or their dream vacation site, you know, the South Seas they wanted earning money for and all that. So why not put, you know, Radha and Krishna? That's your dream vacation, right? Put your dream vacation there, what you're earning, what you're trying, what you're working towards. They told us that in our job. Whatever you want, you should put it on a picture. If you want to get a sports car or you want a South Sea vacation, you put a picture of it there in your cubicle to inspire you to work, you see. They told us. And they all put their... they like to hire people with married people with kids, because they know they'll work harder and be more steady, you see. Because they have to take care of a whole family, you see. So why not put your spiritual master's picture there, and Krishna, and Prabhupada, and, you know, and Vrindavan Leela, you know, Gaura Leela, there in your cubicle, you see. So anybody who comes in and go, "Wow, man, what are you into? This is amazing, you know. You have the book, you have a whole stack of books there in your drawer. Well, take this book, you know. You have cookbooks if they're a little not ready for philosophy. Just somehow... put cookies in the break room, you know. Bring prasadam. Become famous for your cookies in the break room once a week. When are you going to bring those cookies again, you see? In this way, try to infiltrate. Take over the world for Prabhupada, you know.
When Grahastha devotee used to go out every evening or whatever time he gets between his work, go out and preach make life members.
My godbrother, I was just on the phone with my godbrother Brahmatirtha Prabhu today. He's famous. He's from, you know, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers? He's my dear old friend, and he and I had a phone call today. Nice conversation this afternoon. I remember when I first met him in Houston back in 76, he was a geologist for Conoco Oil. You know, full-time corporate job, you know, geologist for Conoco Oil, trying to find oil, you know. But every night he would get off work and he wouldn't go home and sit and watch television. He would go out and preach every night to the Indian community. In those days, the ISKCON temples didn't have Indian congregations. It was just a bunch of American kids, you know, going out and selling books. There was no Indian congregations in America. And he was the first one who pioneered it in the U.S. He went in Houston. He would go out every night. He'd go out to the southwest Houston where all the Indian people live and knock on their doors and spend the evening, every night preaching. And then on Sunday, the temple would be packed with Indian life members. Many of them got initiated. They chipped in the money and bought the temple. So he would just go out preaching every night. And so that's another thing. Whatever spare time you, in the morning sadhana, in the day your job, and if you have time on the weekends, go out preaching. So there's so many things you can do. In California, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he does, they call it the Weekend Warrior Program. He gets book tables all over town. Every family gets their book table. And, they, you know, they 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday afternoon, the whole family goes out and works the book table. And they have book tables all over town. They do a huge number of books, huge number of book distributions, because every member of the temple goes out on the Weekend Warrior Program and mans a table somewhere. That, you know, nice, colorful display. It's real fun. You just have the books, and people come up, and you tell them about Krishna, and they take the books. So these things, these activities of preaching, actually give great life to the soul. And they give you a purpose of mission and connection. I look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Who's a better example than him? He was so expert, a worker for the Britishers as a magistrate. He would finish writing the court decisions in half or one-third the time of what the other magistrates would do. They'd be struggling, and he'd go home and write Vaishnava song. He could finish his work in half the time as the other magistrate. He was a very valued employee of the British government. If there was some Hindu-Muslim riot in a village, they would send Bhaktivinoda Thakur to solve the problem. He was very expert. So actually becoming a devotee will naturally become very expert in everything that he does, you see. Just like my disciple Sukada in Houston, now they made him the acting president of the company. And he was having huge health problems. He got injured, somebody mugged him one morning on the way to the temple. He's been going through huge health problems with intense pain. But in spite of all that, they made him the acting president of the company. Because a devotee, you know, naturally, by being very Krishna conscious, he becomes expert at using everything in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So such persons can actually become leaders, even in the material world. We want devotees should be leaders in every field, that all the corporations should be run by devotees. Why devotees should not be the CEOs, you see, and the presidents and the prime ministers, actually the high court judges. We want the devotees, we like very much devotees who are in the material world and becoming more and more successful in the material world, because the more we become successful and more we become prominent leaders of this planet, then they're going to have to listen to us, you see. They're going to have to listen to us. When your boss becomes a devotee, then you got to listen. He's the boss. So it's actually very good, you see. The more that Krishna will naturally elevate his devotees, the more they become qualified to lead spiritually, they will have more and more prominent positions in the society also. And this way we'll infiltrate the whole world society. Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat karusha madarpanam. Is that the verse? Yada, that the 321? Yad yad acharati shreshtas tattare vetaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadhanavartate. Yeah. The devotees, they naturally become leaders. Those who become ideal in their Krishna consciousness, they become natural leaders in the human society. Krishna says that. So even in your material situation, you can become, they want to make you the leader because you have solid moral principles. You're not duplicitous. You're not political. You simply want to do the best for everyone. But devotees will naturally become, as our movement becomes more established, devotees will naturally become CEOs and congressmen and senators. It will naturally happen because the quality of the vice, they don't have men of character anymore. These politicians are dirty crooks. People don't want to be led by dirty crooks. That's a fact. People want to be led by persons of character. Gradually, gradually, our devotees, they will become the leaders of the human society. You will see. Prime ministers, presidents, they will gradually become devotees. High court judges, they will all become devotees. In due course of time, it will happen. So we should work for that day. Yes.
Solidify his faith in this process. The best thing is that he should associate with people who have strong faith.
That's right.
But a lot of time we see there are a lot of people who have been associating with people with strong faith. They've been following the process also, but despite that, their faith always remains shallow. They always have that, you know, whether this process works or what. You know, after years also, they are nearly, you know, it's shallow.
Yes. I have carefully analyzed this phenomenon, which they're very enthusiastic in the beginning and it goes away. I've very carefully analyzed and understood exactly what's going on. That means their devotional service was rajasic, is in the mode of passion. The mode of passion is all enlivened in the beginning, and in the end it loses all the enthusiasm. It fades away. So the solution is, it's not bad. That passion isn't bad. We encourage it. It's very good. You're very enthusiastic. You have all this passion. Great. But at the same time, simultaneously, you must cultivate sattva guna. We're not training our members sufficiently to be sattvic. You see, that's the problem. Sattvic means you have scriptural knowledge. You're focused on how to, you're concentrating on how to chant without any offense. You're keeping very clean. You're very punctual. You're rising as early as possible in the morning to have some nice sadhana at home or at the temple. We're not focusing enough on the sadhana, the sattvic aspect. We're taking people, we're engaging people's passion very nicely. And that's great. We should continue to do that by big festivals and big projects and all these things and big programs. That's great. But you have to simultaneously balance that with the sattvic aspect. Because we've neglected that, that's why we're in trouble.
So are there possibilities that this person, if, as you're saying, he's not cultivated properly, that he may give up the process in...
Yes, I've been around for 37 years. I've seen him come and go like a bus station. Yeah. So many people have come and gone. The majority of... We've had... If all the people who'd come to this movement were still here, we would be a much bigger organization. We have lost so many people. They're constantly coming and going, you see. Because we're not giving... Prabhupada told us. He saw this tendency back in the early 70s. He said... If you keep adding, he said you must boil the milk until it becomes thick and sweet. He instituted the morning Bhagavatam class. How many people came for the Bhagavatam class at the temple today? You see? Here, there's visiting spiritual masters in Atlanta. How many people thought, well, here's an opportunity. I don't have to go to work. There's no shopping to do today. Here's an opportunity to go to the temple and hear a Bhagavatam class from a visiting guru. How many people came? Practically no one came. You see? This means the members here are not understanding the importance of this sattvic aspect. They don't have sufficient realization about the importance of the sattvic aspect. And they may be very enthusiastic about this project, this festival, this thing, but that enthusiasm can go away if the sattvic the aspect is not simultaneously cultivated. I said yesterday, I made an announcement that, well, tomorrow is the 4th of July. Why not everyone come for Mangal Arati? Let's pack the temple room tomorrow because, you know, why not celebrate our independence from the three modes of nature? But it was the same, you know, skeleton crew at Mangal Arati. Nobody came. I said, spread the word that everybody should come for Mangal Arati, but nobody came, you see. I know in Austin we have a Namaha. On every Saturday it's Mangal Arati Day. We have a nice full temple Mangal Arati every Saturday morning, you see. Why not go for the more, develop, the, push the sattvic things too, like Mangal Arati? Why not have it at least once a week or once a month when everybody goes to the temple for Mangal Arati? Get that sattvic thing going simultaneously with using the passion for Krishna. And you'll see the passion doesn't fade away. Your passion increases then. Your enthusiasm, your passion for being Krishna conscious and pushing it more and more and more throughout the world, that increases, increases, increases if you're tempering it with sattvic activities. Rising early, going to the temple, all these things. Yes?
Maharaj said, even if you chant once, with purity, that's enough. So how do you define the purity and how does one get to be pure?
Purity means... one who chants the holy name purely, it means he's simply doing it for Krishna's pleasure. He has no thought of his own pleasure at all. Absolutely no thought of his own pleasure. It's simply to please Krishna and for no other purpose. That's pure chanting. Some people say, well, you know, I don't get any taste from chanting. What am I doing wrong? I say, what you're doing wrong is you're trying to get taste from chanting. You should be trying to give Krishna taste from your chanting. I should try to chant in such a way that Krishna is relishing my chanting like anything. It may cause me pain. It's like today someone said, when I chant, I feel all weak and this and that. You see? But we shouldn't chant for our pleasure. We should try to chant to please Krishna. How can I call out to him in such a way that gives him unlimited happiness? In this way you should chant. And the insider's secret, as soon as you do that, you enjoy it. Whatever pleasure you can give to Krishna by your chanting, you will automatically get that pleasure yourself. But if you try to, we can be the enjoyer, but we have to be the secondary enjoyer. Always the secondary enjoyer, not the primary. The trouble is we want to be the primary enjoyer. We're envious. We want to be primary enjoyer. That's the problem. Yes.
So many pure devotees. say that they don't desire to attain even liberation.
That's right.
But I feel for myself that that is really my main motivation, is to get out of this world,
mm-hmm.
just full of misery. So
that's
is
it.
That an okay platform to
yes.
begin from?
I read somewhere in Prabhupada's books that that desire to go back to God is a sattvic desire, so it's good. But you have to know the technique for achieving it. And the technique for achieving it is to say, Krishna, whatever you want to do with me is okay. If you want me to serve you in Goloka, that's fine. If you want me to serve you birth after birth in this material world, that's okay too. You have to develop the mood of complete detachment. I'm willing to serve you in any condition. And that's the qualification for achieving the spiritual world. It's a nice desire, but you have to know the mentality that will entitle you to that destination. And that's to be completely detached. My Lord, I will serve you in any condition. See, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or leave me brokenhearted by leaving me stuck in the cycle of birth and death, you're my worshipful Lord unconditionally. You take that mood, then I guarantee you, you'll go back to Godhead directly. Yeah. And another hot tip in this connection, there's a special boon. You ever wonder why Prabhupada engages us in chanting Gravastakam prayers every morning? And during the Brahma Muhurta? How many of you chant Gravastakam every day during Brahma Muhurta? Raise your hand. Every day. Okay, it's a small number. All right, here's a boon given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for chanting the Gravastakam prayers during Brahma Muhurta. He says, anyone, it's the ninth prayer in the Gravastakam. He wrote a ninth prayer at the end describing the first eight prayers. He says, anyone who chants these prayers during the Brahma Muhurta, they will, at the time of death, they will achieve the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So if that's your desire, I would humbly request you, Prabhu, that every morning before the sunrise, sing the Gravastakam prayer along with your japa. Sing the Gavastakam prayer.
Before japa or along with japa?
Before. I meant during the same morning session, not simultaneously, obviously. You know, Hare Krishna, Gunma, Sangsaradava, Naradira. No, not like that. Question for the Maharaji? Yeah. She had her hand up. I recognized her, but you. Since I recognized her, yeah. Go ahead, Manoj. Your neck.
My question is: Krishna says that whatever you offer to me with love and devotion, I will accept.
Right.
And we, as devotees, we always offer bhoga, and a lot of times bhoga is not always offered with love and devotion.
Why not? Why you don't offer with love and devotion? Well, that's not an excuse. Even if you're in a rush, what happens if at the time of death you're in a rush? You have to always do it. Even if it's a rush, you should do it in a devotional way. Just like when devotees were serving Prabhupada, you know, the personal servants, sometimes it would be a very rushed situation. Like, there was some, should Prabhupada go next week? There was some situation where... It was decided that Prabhupada should get on the next flight to India, and they had to arrange all the tickets immediately. It was really a rush. So you have to train yourself that even if you're in a rush, you do it with devotion. You have to train yourself like that. Don't think, I'm in a rush, so I don't have to do it in a devotional way. No. You have to train yourself, even if it's a rush situation, you must do it with devotion. If you love someone, would you be rude to them if you're in a rush? No. If you love someone, you'll always be kind. Even if you're in a rush, you'll be kind to them, isn't it? So do you love Krishna? Or do you want to love Krishna? Then you must be kind to him, even when you're in a rush. Don't say, oh, here's your food, you know. Eat it quick so I can have it. My dear Lord, please accept this offering. You know I'm unqualified. Please accept. You know I'm unqualified to serve you like this. Please accept, my Lord. You beg Krishna. So, Maharaji, you had also?
Oh,
can share Krishna with people at work. Because I'm a teacher, and for years I've been dealing with international students and like this. And you go to work, and generally people think if you go to work, you have to dress a certain way, you have to be a certain way, you have to fit in so that you won't offend somebody who's from another place or who doesn't understand your culture or whatever. But me, I've always gone to work.
You teach public school?
No, I teach adults in programs. Yeah, English is as a second language. So
where is it?
University settings. Universities,
colleges. Oh, you teach in the university.
Yeah. Right now I'm just teaching in a language school because I was in Vrindavan last year and I have
language course.
I'm a quick job. So but I have always found that because what I do, I'm in a position where people are naturally inspired to respect me.
Yeah. It's big. I know. I preach in an Eastern European country where the temple president is a. What does he teach? What field? Romania?
Oh, he's a
computer science professor. And he makes the students respect him so much that he actually makes devotees. He's got the whole temple is filled up from people who were his students in his classes. He's so expert. He's so sober, and they so much look up to him as a learned professor that then, when he's outside the class, he makes individual relationships and he makes them devotees. He's got a whole temple full of people who have come from his courses. It's amazing. So, it's a very good, being a teacher like that is a very good thing. If they respect you as an intelligent, sober person that inspires them to be what they want to be, then when you're one-on-one with them, you can make them devotees. That's great.
Well, also because, as a teacher of international students, although they do sort of make suggestions about how you should dress and how you should behave and things like that, I wear a dhoti skirt, I wear my bindi, and everybody knows I'm a devotee.
That's
and
great.
Because they know I'm a devotee, they have respect for me.
That's great. The university lets you wear your... What about tilak?
Yeah. I'm afraid that it might be too much for them. But before when I was working I had a full-time job and I had an office, I had a big poster of Jagannath over my computer.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. That's a very good, that's a very nice encouragement,
so
what you're doing.
That
that's encouraging to all of us. Keep it up and make as many devotees as you can. That's great. Thank you for that report.
I'm so I'm just telling my husband and I are going to do
it. Huh? Oh, that's nice. What you're doing is good. Thank you very much for preaching like that. It's very wonderful. Jai. Any other questions? Yeah.
You mentioned that there's no pleasure or happiness in this material world. But how do you define pleasure? Like, for example, the body experience is sleeping.
Maya Sukaya. It's illusory happiness.
But... try to preach to somebody for them eating nice.
That's another thing. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to them right now. I'm talking to you. For those who are addicted to material happiness, you say, do you like sex?
I say, yeah, I love it. Well, this is billions of times better than sex.
I'm talking to you. I wouldn't tell you that. Like, according to your audience, you can speak, you see. I recognize him behind you. You're next, though, in line after him. Go ahead.
How do we know that we are sincere at heart? We might be acting according to our view.
How do we know what? How do you know if you're sincere?
We might be acting according to our ego.
We might be acting according to our ego.
Yeah. Well, it's quite easy, actually. It's described in the Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavava raktir anyatra chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadyama nashu yatasna nashu pushti tush, pushti Tushti pushti chudapayo nagasam. That one who, that one who is sincerely engaged in Krishna consciousness, for one who is sincere, they develop love for Krishna. They are able to gradually perceive Krishna within everything, everywhere, wherever they go. And they become completely detached from material sense enjoyment, just as the example is given. A person experiences nourishment, eradication of hunger, and satisfaction increasingly with each bite while engaged in eating. So you eat, right? You know what it's like to become satisfied by eating. So in the same way that if you are actually sincerely taking up the bhakti path, you will taste the result. You will feel how your love for Krishna is growing, and you become more and more conscious of Krishna within every sight, within every sound, within every smell, within every sensation, at every experience, at every minute, you feel Krishna more and more present. And therefore, you become completely detached from sense gratification. If you are feeling these things, then you're sincere. And if you're not feeling these things, then you're not sincere. If you're not getting any attraction to Krishna, but actually I know you're sincere. I'm telling you, you are sincere. Otherwise you wouldn't be here. Did somebody pay you to come here? Did you come here for some sense enjoyment? Prasadam? Oh, that's all right. Actually, I can see that you're a sincere person. By asking such a question, I can see you're very sincere. You may feel that you're not sincere, and that's your humility. But I can see that you're a very sincere person. So just continue and engaging sincerely in devotional service, and surely Krishna will bless you. Now, your turn.
A little technicality. When I'm at work, I'm always having a hard time saying what I follow. You know, I'll find little techniques, like my wife's Indian, so when I meet someone, you know, begin a conversation and they say, oh, she's Indian, you know, somehow I'm trying to bring the conversation towards Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And I always default to calling it Hinduism because I feel
don't ever do that.
Just because I feel like they can...
No, don't do that.
So help me.
Don't do that.
How should I...
Oh, never do that. If they want to know you, what is your religion?
Sometimes I try to avoid the word religion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, never say Hinduism. People ask me, what is this on the forehead? I say, this is the sign of one who has conquered over death. If you like, I will teach you how to conquer over death also. No, you have to present it in a scientific way. What do they ask you that you would say Hinduism? What is the question?
Part of Hinduism,
you know. But, it makes it sound so sectarian.
So
why would they? I want to ask you how you're raised. I mean, how'd that come up in the conversation?
I can't remember how it comes up, but
just say I'm practicing the science of self-realization. I'm awakening my consciousness beyond this material body.
For example, then I'll tell them I got married in India. And I'll say, oh, why did you get married in India? And then I'll say, well, I follow this philosophy or this religion. So how would I answer that question?
I'd say, well, that's because that's where my wife came from. And was your wife was an Indian wife? You'd say, that's because my wife was from. You don't give them all this on those kind of questions. Say, because my wife is from India, her family wanted to come to the wedding, so I had him. You know, just give them some down to earth answer they can relate to.
But to bring it, because what I'm trying to do is bring it towards this conversation on spirituality. So, science of self-realization.
It depends on the person. There's no set way to do it. You have to desire to give them the mercy of Krishna consciousness. So you have to, just like our book, a very good example is our book distributors, you see. They want to give everyone a book, so Do you have a set line you use for everyone? Bhaktivinoda distributes books. Do you have a set line you use for everyone, or you try to pick up on their vibe and give something that's just suitable for that person? The second thing, right? Just like there's two kinds of business suits you can get. You can go to the department store and just get a suit off the shelf, you know, off the hanger. Or you can go to a tailor and have one custom made. So don't give them a suit off the shelf. You got to give them a custom made suit. You have to pray to Krishna to help you understand the mentality of the person, so you can give them, explain in such a way that they become enthused and stimulated to learn about this. Just like now, I'm doing the same thing with you. Every individual, see, I'm not giving a stock answer. I would give somebody else asked the same question in the room. I'd probably answer it a different way. But I'm trying to tune in on your vibrations right now and give an answer in such a way that's the most suitable for you. That will turn on the lights within your heart so you can get the realization you need to be successful in communicating with others in a very powerful way, where you become enlivened and they become enlivened. You see?
Well, it's usually always the same group of people. I'm a pilot and I'm working with other mm-hmm. pilots.
Prashadam is the best thing. You should share Prashadam with them. I don't know if you can get...
When the question arises, well, what's your religion?
If they say, what's your religion? I would say flying beyond, flying in the spiritual sky. Your religion is flying in the material sky. Mine is flying in the spiritual sky. You have to be poetic. I'll give you an example of being poetic. I went to a Christian church one time. I was giving it to the Sunday school class, like on Wednesday night or something, you know. I was telling them all about how great Jesus was, you know. They loved it. Yeah, he's our guru, he's our savior, he's our spiritual master. He has this quality. I just glorified Jesus on one side and down the other side. And then they were all smiling and completely mellowed out and happy. And then I said, but... we have a beef with you. I said, the beef is the beef. And they loved it. It was so poetic. And I said, you, Christ, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, and you're eating beef. And that's the beef we have with you people. But I did it in such a poetic way. They went, ah, oh, they smiled. Oh, how poetic, you know. So I would advise, this is one of the qualities of a devotee, you see, poetic. I advise you to be poetic, because usually the conversations we hear in the workplace is so drab and dull and boring, you know. But if somebody starts talking in a poetic way, wow, it's like relief, it's like stress relief, you know, to hear somebody talking poetically. Nobody talks poetically in the corporate world, it's all cut and dried, you know. But I advise you to speak in a very poetic way. Yeah, I fly. My religion is to fly in the spiritual sky. I fly on the airplane of mantra. By day, I fly on the airplane of delta. But when I'm off work, I fly on the airplane of mantra. And if you like, you know how to fly airplane of delta, but I will teach you how to fly airplane of mantra.
I'll have to develop that courage.
you have to have the conviction within your own heart that you can preach powerfully to someone. You see, if you're unsure of your own position, then you go, well, you're very insecure. But if you're completely secure and powerful, just imagine if you were the last devotee left on the planet, everybody had gone back to God, and Prabhupada sent you a message. Now your duty is to revolutionize this whole planet. It's all on your shoulders. You see? How powerfully would you preach? Prabhupada has sent me a special message. I'm the only, all the other devotees went back to God, and the only one here It's my duty to completely bring about a spiritual revolution on this planet as soon as possible. Like that old TV show, Mission. I don't watch TV now. When I was a kid, we used to watch television. It was a show called Mission Impossible. And every week, there'd be some impossible mission that the hero had to carry out. And by the end of the show, he would always do it. The half hour, he would pull it off. So just imagine if you have been given the mission by the previous acharyas to make this entire planet Krishna conscious. With how much conviction would you preach that this movement completely depended on you for success or failure? How much conviction and how much expertise would you develop in your preaching? So in this way, you have to have a burning conviction in your heart to revolutionize this planet by your preaching. And then they'll be amazed. Then we'll have, 30 airplane pilot devotees. And my dream is that someday we will start our own airline, Hare Krishna Airline. I'm serious. I'm very happy. I'm finally meeting a pilot, you see, who's a devotee. My dream is we have Hare Krishna Airlines and we will undercut everybody else because the pilots will all be devotees. They'll do it as a service. Now the airfare is inflated because the pilots are such huge money. So they demand through the unions a big. Of course, you may not like this, but that's all right. Everything will be covered. But I'm saying, if we had an airline that was run by devotees as a preaching tool, we could undercut everybody's price because we're not greedy for money. We just want to do a service for Prabhupada. We could undercut the price and we could have prasadam on the airplane, And the in-flight movies would all be Krishna conscious. You see, it's cheaper than every other airline. So everybody would want to fly Hare Krishna. It'd be a waiting list. When can I fly on Hare Krishna airline? You see? Be a wonderful thing. When can I fly Hare Krishna? We have a special thing for the kids. All the parents say, Mommy and Daddy, I want to fly Hare Krishna. So that's one of my dreams, that someday that'll happen. So I'm so happy now. We finally got one pilot. If you can make all... I'm asking you to make all the pilots Krishna conscious. You should make hundreds and thousands of pilots Krishna conscious. That's my personal request of you. Because then, if we have a huge supply of pilots who want to dedicate their pilotry for Krishna's service, we can actually take over an airline eventually, and use it for preaching. It'd be a great tool. Just imagine you get on the airplane, and all the stewardesses are all devotees. You get on the airplane, Hare Krishna, It'd be so nice, Hare Krishna, welcome aboard. So great. It'd be wonderful, just imagine. So anyway, any other question? Yeah, it's one of those things, time, Wow. Time just becomes non-existent for me once I start. We have to be real, and the time clock is going on here.
Children are getting restless.
The children are getting restless. The children are not properly trained yet. If I was coming here every weekend, I would have all these children trained, and that they would sit and hear and relish the nectar of this philosophy. But they're not trained yet. But I hope that the next time I come, they will be trained. They can sit and relish. The key is put them in your lap, you hear, and the child will imitate you because you're sitting there hearing. So anyway, we'll stop here, and we thank you very much. Raja Vijashimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Bye.